Welcome to Unity Fort Worth Online. We are a spiritual center of love and wisdom, affirming God's presence in our lives and reaching the larger community in ever-increasing circles of good.
Wow, that's beautiful. Thank you. And that guitar work in the middle was just lovely, wasn't it? Whoa. Thank you. I'm in a third of the fourth week in our series on keys to everything. Or well, not everything, but a lot of stuff. And first week we covered healing, keys to healing. Last week we looked about keys to harmony. Today we're looking at keys to prosperity. Next week, keys to mastery. And you know, the first week we had seven keys, right? And this last week we had no keys, just some ideas. But so we're back to seven again, okay? Back to seven. So we'll be a quiz at the end to see how. But I'm going to start with seven because that song reminded me of that so much. The seventh key for me is relaxing. You know, sometimes we in our desire to be successful or prosperous, we worry so much, we're so concerned that we tighten up. We're filled with fears that it won't happen, etc., etc. Or if we've got to a certain amount of money and we have a certain amount of bills, we start to panic. How am I going to make all that work? And I've learned that what works for me, at least in the last several years of my life, is simply to relax, you know, to trust, to know that it's going to flow. And that song for me is perfect because, yes, everything is, like Ecclesiastes says, there's a time for everything, right? And so, yeah, there's going to be those moments of great abundance, and there's those times where we seem to be in the dry spell, but the roots go deeper during those times. That's the good news, you know, when everything's too easy, the roots are shallow. So when there's those tough times, it helps us to go a little deeper. And I was musing about that in terms of our church community. You know, a few years ago, we had experienced a split and people walked away. And it's taken us a long time to sort of recoup. But, you know, looking at the statistics, many churches that experienced that belly up. They don't survive, you know. And the fact that we've not only survived, but we're thriving again and moving forward, to me, is testimony. Went through those dry times, but the roots went deeper. Amen. And you know, a lot of us weren't there at that time, so we don't know what the heck we're talking about. It doesn't really matter. The point is, we're here surviving and doing things great today, and it's testimony that, you know, you have to trust. You know, so that's number seven. Okay, we got that one down. Relax. Trust. So let's move back to number one. I can't remember to do it all in reverse order, but at least do the seventh one. That's the sort of anchor there. This quote from Myrtle Fillmore, co-founder of Unity, it contains the first two, and I think they're the most important two of all of them in terms of harnessing this prosperous life. And Myrtle Fillmore was so centered in truth. She was the mystic of Unity, if you like, and these are from her healing letters. And she wrote this. She said, and she's very, you know, she always told it like it is. She didn't pussyfoot around. She starts off with the only way. The only way. My goodness. Okay, here we go then. The only way to become permanently prosperous and successful is through quickening, awakening, and bringing into righteous use all the indwelling resources of spirit. That's the first key. In other words, we have within us, it's not out there. See, so often when we think about prosperity, we're thinking it's out there, right? When my ship comes in, when I get the right job, when the money flows to me, then I can do all these things. Whereas she totally reversed it. She said, it's all about the indwelling resource of spirit, right? That's already available. When you contact that, when you quicken it, awaken it, and bring it into righteous use, this indwelling resource of spirit, then you will achieve prosperity. Total reverse of the way the world teaches us. And she went on to say, when we develop our soul and express its talents and capabilities in loving service to God and humankind, our temporal needs will be supplied in bountiful measure. So it's not good enough to have an idea of abundance. You have to act upon it, and you cannot act upon it until you're excited about it. You know, that's the key to everything for me. You've got to be passionate about it, right? Why do things not happen in our lives? Because we're ho-hum. When you met the love of your life and you wanted to be in partnership with that person, were you ho-hum about it? No, you weren't. You were full on about it, right? It was a wholehearted thing. And it's the same with living the successful life. You have to be wholehearted about it. There has to be the sizzle. Now, sometimes our relationships can end because the sizzle fizzles. You know what I'm saying? But the sizzle is what enlivens it in the first place, is what creates the channel. The idea is great, abundance, and I want to talk more about that in a second. But there has to be the channel by which that abundance flows. And the abundance flows through passion, through commitment to something. When I look at all the great people who have succeeded in life, whether it be in the spiritual realm like a Dalai Lama, or people that are entrepreneurs like some of the great tech giants, you know, that have done amazing things, that have become multi-billionaires. I was thinking about Richard Branson. He's an interesting guy, Virgin Airlines and all this. Did you hear that he's just launched a second spaceship? Did you hear that? But you know what the name of the spaceship is? Unity. I think it was Stephen Hawking that gave him the name. And I don't know where Stephen Hawking, I admire, there's another one of ideas, talking about the flow of ideas through that body that's wasted, and yet the genius of his mind and his consciousness is continuous, right? Because he has found a channel by which his resource of spirit, it can flow. And I love the idea, he came up with the idea of unity. So we have a spacecraft now called Unity. That's great. And it's so needed in our world today, this idea of unity, right, of our oneness. So let's unpack it a little bit, because the indwelling resource of spirit, Charles Fillmore, Myrtle's husband, put it like this. He constantly referred to it like this in all his writings. He says, that prosperity is the inexhaustible, omnipresent substance of spirit, which is our abundant source of supply. Now, okay, let's look at that. It's inexhaustible. In other words, it's never-ending. It's always available. See, God doesn't create the universe in a half-hearted manner either. God is full-on, right? The whole universe, we've been told by scientists, is what? What's it doing? It's expanding in all directions, right? Since the Big Bang. It's expansive. It's full-on. It's inexhaustible. Omnipresent. It's not just for some. It's for all of us. So there's no excuses here. Well, if only I had their resources. You do. We all have the same resources of spirit within us, right, to tap into. It's inexhaustible, omnipresent, the substance, the energy, the divine power of God, our abundant source of supply. Abundant. You cannot outgive God, right? God is always going to be available. We can rely on this. I say this almost every week. I don't fret all night worrying if the sun's going to come up. It's coming up. I can rely on it, right? So I can rely on this infinite resource of spiritual power within me, yeah, and within us. But it has to be harnessed. There's number two. We have to find a way to let this express. Now, it may happen anywhere. It doesn't have to be a big thing, but you have to find that every day that inspires you, right? Because that will impel you to live more expansively and magnificently. So you have to find something that gives you joy. For me, I've shared it many times. It's nature, you know. I can look at the sky and get inspired. If there's a bird in my backyard, I get excited. But I don't just say, oh, well, that's a pretty bird. Great. I use the energy that I feel, my connectedness to the one through that to inspire the rest of my day. So when I go into whatever else I'm to do, I feel that same energy. See, that's what we're talking about. It's getting the sizzle, isn't it? It's getting the energy going so that I can apply that wherever I'm going, in my work, in my relationships, whatever it is. So tell me what does it for you? What inspires you? What gets you going? Dancing. So do you dance every day? What? They disappeared. There was somebody there. I swore somebody said dancing. There you are. Tell us more. Excellent. There we go. All right. But you're using that like a catalyst to get you into that higher consciousness, right? A channel by which the good can flow. Yeah. Excellent. You dance every day, do you? Oh, all right. And you've still got the smile, I can tell. Yeah, go for it, girl. mentoring children. All right. See, there's so many ways we could do this. I felt the same way yesterday, the inspiration coming at Reed Hamilton's funeral, because about four or five people shared, and two of them weren't from the church, and so I learned more about Reed. You know, Reed had come to this church for many years. A lot of us haven't seen him in a while because he had Alzheimer's. But what a great example he was for us, and he loved the choir, and so the choir were there to sing a beautiful song. Now, here's the thing. Years ago, he'd learned this chant in another church. It was a Hebrew chant, and it basically said in Hebrew, goodbye, farewell until we meet again. And that song became his song, supposedly, during the last year of his life. So even when Alzheimer's took his brain, he was still able to know that song. And every time his daughter went to visit him, he'd be singing this song, chanting it. It was on his lips, farewell, goodbye, until we meet again. Isn't that beautiful? And so the choir sang that song, and it was so moving, because the idea, my goodness, if I have to go that way, I want to have the words of God and thanksgiving for others on my lips, yes? So there's inspiration. You know, in the midst of losing it, he still was connected. And that's prosperity. He still had it, right? And they were saying one of the things they loved about him was he would always come up to you and say, hi, my name is Reed Hamilton, you know? So we can all do this. We can walk up to somebody and say, hi, my name is Reed Hamilton, except use your own name, okay? Joy does it for me. You know, when we're joyous, we jettison ourselves up to a higher dimension, right? We become that channel by which the good can flow. So we have an indwelling resource of good. It's activated by our willingness to let the channel open. And you can't open a channel without excitement and energy, right? So third one is, how do we do this exactly? What is the key? It's nice to say, well, we've got infinite resource. Charles and Myrtle talked about divine ideas, and those are the key to harnessing the infinite resource, right, to opening that channel. Listen to what they said. This is Charles Fillmore. He said, prosperity is based on the conscious possession of the idea of God's abundance back of all things. And again, when I check on successful people, I see that it is not about all the things they have. It's the ideas that they were inspired by that led to all the things that they have, right? And it comes from that divine idea within. How many divine ideas are there? Infinite. Where are they? Everywhere, in us, around us, we have them, right? So it's a question of just harnessing them. Things come and go, says Charles Fillmore, but the idea of abundance endures. Things appear at its command. And I know this is true for me in my life because, you know, for years I was an atheist, and then I was a Buddhist and a Hindu and all that. And then it came into my mind to go to become a Unity minister, and everybody laughed, you know. But, you know, the idea was there. It couldn't be stopped. The idea was there. And it took years for it to percolate. And I sent in my application. It was rejected, first of all, because it was sent on the wrong paper. I've told this story before. But the point is, there were many obstacles in the way. It seemed to be a dry time, yeah? But the message was, this idea is an idea that is yours to pursue. Keep going. Remain excited, you know, and it ended up that I'm a minister for now 28 years. And it's been a wonderful thing for me. But, well, I'm not asking for applause, but thank you, though. The point being, follow your passion, follow the dream, even though it appears to be foolish, right? Because when that divine idea comes, then you must follow it. You must live from that consciousness. And Fillmore goes on, he says, Jesus had no visible possessions. Even told his disciples when they were going to villages, don't take an extra pair of sandals, don't take a purse, don't take anything, don't take a bag, just go, right? So he had no visible possessions, but he could supply thousands of persons with food through praising and giving thanks to the invisible spirit of plenty. You've got to harness the divine ideas, because the divine idea is the divine antidote to lack and all the conditions that our world will place upon us, telling you you can't, right? And so often, even in America where we think we can, the message is so often, oh no, you know, other people can, but you can't, right? It's the idea that the power is out there, whereas the true power, of course, is always within, so we can turn the tables. That is our great gift to be able to have things new, to have a new life, a new possibility is available from the idea within us. And here's the key, the fourth key. What was the third key? Ideas. Get that idea. Cooking. The fourth idea is what he said there. Jesus fed the 5,000 through praise and thanksgiving, right? So that's the fourth great idea. Praise and give thanks for everything. As Fillmore said, every little evidence. That's why it's okay for me to praise my cardinals in my backyard, because they're every little evidence of God's wonder and good. I mean, imagine that color anyway, suddenly appearing, this beautiful red color suddenly appearing in your yard. It's gorgeous, you know, it's beautiful. I look up the sky sometimes. I put a sky picture on Facebook last night. Gorgeous. We have the best sunsets and sunrises in Texas that I've ever seen in all my life in any part of the world, don't we? It's just gorgeous. So every little evidence to praise, to give thanks. Because so often we see the good, we acknowledge it, and we pass right by it and get back to our bitching, moaning, and whining, right? But we got to shift that around so to give thanks for every little evidence. So can you give me some examples? Because I don't want to be the only one that's got the cardinal thing going, you know, in case anybody thinks I'm weird. What? Your own home, right? To have that place of safety and comfort. And thanks for that. Nature for you, too. Nature does it for you. Pets. Because they're unconditionally loving, aren't they? Gardening. Nurturing things. Other people. Being connected, right? Not being alone. Hi, my name is. You know, that reaching out, that extending to others. Yes, amen.
Somebody said music. Can I second it?
Yes, music. I think we're all in agreement on music. That's one of the glories of our community here. We love music. Yoga. The wind chimes that suddenly come and go and you don't know when. Water flowing. Yes. Beautiful. Speak up. Go ahead. Yeah. Things growing out of concrete. Amen. Amen. Story of our lives, right? Living things coming out of concrete. That's what it's all about. Because you can't stop running water. You can't stop the fire that burns inside, right? You've got to acknowledge that there is an infinite resource, and that's the joy and beauty of our lives. Yeah. And affirmations can work well here. Here's a couple, because I think you can get the idea of excitement and praise and thanksgiving and connection with the divine ideas, the inexhaustible supply through affirmation. Charles and Myrtle Fillmore use it all the time. The rich substance of the kingdom of God is pouring its plenty perpetually into my mind and affairs, and I am in all ways prospered. That's a powerful statement. The rich substance of the kingdom of God, and I love that, pouring its plenty perpetually. Never stops, right? Because that's God. God doesn't give in half measures. God is full on at all times. So just to use those four words, God is pouring her plenty perpetually into my mind and heart this week, right? And how's your life going to change if you really let that be the truth? Wow. I'm living differently now. I'm not being conditioned by what's out there. I'm letting the plenty of God pour perpetually through my mind and my body and my spirit, yeah? What about this one? God is my instant, constant, and abundant supply. I love that one too. Instant, constant, and abundant supply. Because so often, what? We put off our good till later. When my ship comes in, when I got enough money in the bank, when I retire, I'll do all these things. Have you ever said that to yourself? My dad used to say that. He said, when I retire, I'm going to buy a little small holding. There's a little farm out in the Wye Valley, a beautiful little cottage. I'm going to grow crops. I'm going to have etc., etc. It was always a dream of his, and then he died at 52 of a heart attack. And that was a huge wake-up call for me. You know, never put off your good till later because it may never happen. It never happened for him. And so, you know, you have to claim it now. It's instant. There's no time or space to spare it. May as well claim it now, right? And it doesn't have to be a dream in that sense, an impossible dream. It's living fully where you are right now, reaching out to people, being present to what is happening, giving thanks for your bank account rather than say, oh my God, there's not enough. Give thanks for it, it will expand, you know, because that's the nature of the flow. And we've talked about this over and over. Just relaxing into number seven, the key, seventh key, seems to expand the availability of the flow of good in our lives. Now, how it does that, I don't know, and I'm not really worrying about how, but I know it works. When I trust, it happens, yeah? I'm not constricted, I'm living the expansive life, yes? And that's number six. So let's back up now, back from seven to six to five, and then we'll be back to four. I'm really testing you, see if you can remember all seven. In this world, there's only two ways to live, either expansively or in contraction, right? You're either expanding or you're contracting. And since God is endlessly expanding, it seems like if we want to be like God, then it's better to be expansive, right? Because expansive means I'm open. I'm open and receptive to new things, right? I'm open and receptive to new ideas, yes? I'm teachable. I see the good in everything. There's new things coming to me. I'm not getting old. I'm getting younger, yeah? Oh, because old is just in your head anyway, right? So, again, the people who are most vibrantly alive are the ones that are open to new ideas, expansive, always doing new things, right? Explorers. So that's the key, I think, to being this kingdom of heaven, by the way. If you translate heaven from the Greek, it means expansion. So the kingdom of expanded living, you know, do a new thing, say something different to somebody, right? What else can we do this week in our work? We can have a different attitude towards it, right? Enjoy it, smile at somebody, shock them. You know, we're always hugging and lovey-dovey in unity, aren't we? And then we go out into the real world, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's shocking to me. People don't want to hug, don't want to say hello, but you know, we have to bring that consciousness out into the world to see what difference it makes. That's what one of the testimonies that was said about Reed, that he always did that. You know, that he brought that love experience to others in a very natural, down-to-earth way. And it changed people, and it made him illumined, I think, you know? And that's what I want. I want to live from that context. Be expansive. Learn new things.
Take chances, no risk, no reward.
There we go. Take chances, right? Expand into something new. That's six. Five. Let's talk about money real quick. Money is not a thing. Money is an idea, right? The great metaphysician said money is God in action. It's the flow. And as long as we overcome this idea that money is something that's a commodity, it's not a commodity, it's an idea. Again, people like Richard Branson and all the great entrepreneurs, they know this. They understand that money is fluid, it's flexible, it will flow to where the greatest ideas are, yes? So once I get inspired by an idea, the juices will flow, the energy will flow, the money will flow. I don't have to fear it anymore. So many of us are in fear about money that there's not going to be enough, right? That we're in some kind of lack. But if we just get over that and know that I have an abundance of ideas and they're going to be reflected in the flow, and the flow will happen in the right way at the right time. Charles and Myrtle wanted to move from their headquarters in Kansas City to Unity Farm. They bought like 1,500 acres out in the country. It's now a suburb of Kansas City. And in 1929, they were moving. Well, guess what happened? The huge crash happened, and they weren't able to move until 1947. How many years is that? 18 years. So they put everything on hold except their dream. Their dream was not on hold. They just knew it wasn't going to happen. It was a dry time. But they persevered, and when the economy turned around after World War II, they moved out there. They built all these beautiful Mediterranean houses and buildings that we can see today, right? And I encourage you to go there sometime. It's a beautiful campus, 1,400 acres, but it's testimony to me, you know, that they weren't conditioned by money. They were conditioned, they were filled with inspiration about the idea of what was theirs to bring forth. Sure, it took a little time sometimes. It took 18 years in that case, but they persevered and they created, right? They made a dedication and covenant to Spirit way back when, at the beginning of their ministry, that they would give everything to God, and in return they asked God to provide them with everything they needed to live successfully. Hence, Unity became its growing movement that is continuing to grow today. Pop quiz. How many can we remember? Let's go from 1 to 7. Number 1. That's 7. Relax, is 7. But it's okay. We started it with it, so. We're all counterintuitive in Unity, right? It's like herding cats, isn't it? Okay, I don't want to follow a pattern, you know. There's an infinite resource, inexhaustible resource available to you. That's number 1. You harness it through passion, your passionate actions, right? The best way of contacting that resource is in the divine ideas within you. Give thanks for them, because that expands the good, expands the flow. Money will flow. Money is an idea, not a thing. 6. Take chances, expand. Keep thinking new thoughts, right? They're limitless. It's never over until it's over, right? As Yogi Berra so beautifully said. And 7. Relax. It's okay. Piece of cake. No problem. Amen.
Thanks for listening. This ministry is funded through the generous contributions of individuals just like you. If you have found spiritual enrichment here, please visit us online at unityfortworth.org and make a donation. We sincerely thank you for your contribution, and we affirm with you, divine love through me blesses and multiplies all that I have, all that I give, and all that I receive, and I am grateful.